Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. How are you? That's what I want to hear. That's what I want to hear. It's a little cloudy outside. I heard some rain coming down pretty hard out there, but that's okay because there's always sunshine in our hearts. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know what I'm getting ready to ask you, right? Oh, you know what I'm getting ready to ask you. And I really hope you've got the right answer. Where were you yesterday? Oh, my goodness. Yesterday was Let's Talk About It Tuesday, and we had church folk, and oh, my goodness. I'm still laughing. I am still laughing at yesterday's episode. Oh, my goodness. Well, unfortunately, we did not have Pastor Ed Perry in the house. He and the family are not doing well. The whole house is down and sick. And we had our Pastor Charlene Beard and our minister, AJ. They held it down. And they had the nerve to bring a couple of friends with them. They probably saying, we didn't bring them. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Yes, they did. They had a couple of their friends. You know, the Due Time crew were all together yesterday. Yes, they were joined by, yesterday he was Deacon Al Bynum and our Pastor K.L. Frazier. And oh my goodness, did they change the face of church folk yesterday. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm still laughing. I am still laughing. We talked about the bad church kids, those bad PKs. Yeah, the pastor kids, what's going on with them? Oh, well, you know, Minister AJ, as a PK, ended up giving it up. He told us why the pastor's kids are so bad and, you know, what's the psyche around there? What's the mentality? How they get like that? Yes. Yeah, it was on. It was on yesterday. We talked and we laughed and we talked and we laughed. And it was comical. Oh, my goodness. I'm still laughing. I just got to tell you, I am still laughing. I went to the replay yesterday and I'm still laughing. We even talked about stocking up. You know, they said that we're going to run out of some things and We got to stock up now. And even that was funny. You can't have the Due Time crew on anything at any time and not have a laugh. And we talked about why the old timers in the church tell us that you can't go to the movies, and how the church has seemed to evolve from then till now. So it was a very interesting conversation. And yes, it took up the entire 2 hours, and it was on and on again. So my advice to you is to make sure you get on yesterday's segment. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I had to make a couple of adjustments, but it's okay. It's okay. It was enough left to keep you laughing. The nucleus of it is still there, and we had a good time yesterday, as always, in our church folk segment. So today is Wow Wednesday. Yes, we are already in the middle of the week. Where has the week gone already? Oh, my goodness, I can't believe we're already in the middle of the week. And we have a nice day today. We have a nice day planned today. Yes, we've got something a little different today. Yes, we have some guests, and we're talking about being the apple of his eye. Yes, that daddy's girl. Are you a daddy's girl? Well, we have some ladies coming on, and we're going to get to chatting about that, and I'm sure some wow stuff is going to come out of that. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about being a mama's boy. Well, the only right thing to do is to flip the coin and talk about daddy's girl. So, you know, it's you know, a couple of voices you've heard before, and they were really good. So we had to kind of pull them up and bring them back. And somebody's kind of brand new, if you will. It's kind of brand new, but I know we're going to have a good time today, because we always have a good time over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And, of course, because it's Wednesday, we've got our Techie Talk with Dwayne. And last but not least, we have our Pastor Charlene Beard with our Faith Over Fear segment. You know, Pastor Charlene Beard, I don't care what we talk about, she can flip that faith over fear out in a minute. Yes, she can. Just like a quick mama slap. Pow! Well, you know it. You got that faith over fear going on. So, you know, I just want you to get comfortable. Make sure you tell a friend, because, see, you should have done that before you even got on this morning. Okay. You'll get a chance to do that in a hot second. But let me give you this number, 516-387-1358. Again, that number is 516-387-1358. And if you want to text, because you just might have something to say today, you know, we're talking about the ladies, and we never know, you just may want to jump in on the conversation. So that I want to make sure you have that phone number. And if you want to talk, but you just don't want to say it yourself, it's okay. We made arrangements for that. The number is 347-285-7777. Shanti is on the front line, so she'll take your text and she'll let us know what you're saying. So go get that tea, that coffee, that juice, that good hot breakfast, and make sure you're ready. Yes, because we're going to have a good time today. Yes, we are. I'm looking forward to it. Like I said, it's a wonderful topic. It's something that, you know, it's about that time we have that conversation. So we want to make sure you are prepared. So don't get all busy. While we're taking our break, you got a minute to call your friend, text your friend, let them know that it's Due Time is on, and they need to be listening. Make sure you keep it locked. Be right back.
To prevent the spread of COVID-19, here's a few points to note for returning to the workplace. Adopt flexible working hours. Wear a mask when taking public transport. Check body temperature when entering office buildings. Avoid crowded lifts as far as possible. Avoid holding or joining large-scale meetings. Reduce face-to-face contacts with coworkers. Arrange flexible meal hours. Avoid meal gatherings. Wash hands frequently and maintain good environmental hygiene at the workplace. After work, avoid crowded places. If you feel unwell, don't go to work and seek prompt medical advice. For more details on preventive measures in the workplace, visit coronavirus.gov.hk.
Good morning to you. How are you this morning? You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Wow Wednesday. Yes, it is. And I got to confess, I lost my news. I can't find my news. So I don't have anything to say to you as far as the news today. I don't know what happened. I don't have a clue. But you know, always got something to talk about. And well, something that I did come across. I don't want to make it the news, but it was kind of like a wow when I did have it up to talk about today. Because you know, I always like to do the wow. So they have this as the celebrities with the jaw-dropping net worth. And I was like, wow, for real? So maybe you'll find this as well. I thought this was kind of interesting. And it's kind of off the little beaten path while we get ourselves together with the ladies coming on. So they're saying that these people are actually worth this much money. So we have Sophia Loren. Now, you know, you got to be a little old school to remember Sophia Loren. Well, she's worth $75 million. Now, Sophia Loren is old. And, you know, no insult, seasoned, or whatever you want to call her. But, dang, she's worth $75 million? Well, Michael Jordan is worth $2.2 billion. And we've got Richard Gere. Everybody knows Richard Gere. He's an actor. Nice looking kind of guy. $100 million. And I don't know who Susan Boyle is, but she's worth $40 million. She's on the low end of the scale. Wesley Snipes. Now, this one was kind of wow to me because I didn't think he was actually worth this much. Well, he's actually worth $10 million. Yeah, he hasn't even been around, and he's worth $10 million. And Tiger Woods is worth $740 million. Now, even after the divorce, oh my! Jim Carrey, $180 million. Now, remember where Jim Carrey got his start from? Yeah, off of In Living Color. Can you imagine? Cher, $305 million. Melissa McCarthy, $50 million. Caitlyn Jenner, $100 million. Now, isn't Caitlyn Jenner with that other one, the people who changed the sex Yeah, that's the one. Okay, so comical, Philip Michael Thomas, $2.5 million. Wow, he's still hanging around? Sam Elliott, everybody knows Sam Elliott. Well, only a few people. You know, a lot of people don't even know these names. And this, I'm a person who watches the credits. I love names. I got to know who I'm looking at. Well, he's worth $10 million. And let's see who else. Howard Stern. Everybody knows Howard Stern. $95 million. And then we have Britney Spears. $63 million. And I don't even know who that is, so I'm not going to bother to read that one to you. We don't even know who that is. I'm not going to read that one to you. Mark Cuban. Everybody knows Mark Cuban. $4.1 billion. Wow. He's got his hands in a whole lot of stuff, so I'm not surprised about that one. Vanessa Williams. Now, this is the Vanessa Williams who was the Miss America. $28 million. Okay, I'm a little surprised. I didn't think she was worth that much. And she's still hanging around. You know, I got some other names here that I don't think. Megyn Kelly, $15 million. Alyssa Milano. Everybody remembers her. $45 million. Wow, she's worth $45 million. Gordon Ramsay, $160 million. I thought he was worth a little bit more than that because he's all over the place. Rachel Ray, $60 million. I'm waiting to get somebody real interesting. I don't know these other people. I don't know. Pamela Anderson. How much y'all think she worth? Come on. $5 million. Oh, goodness. I didn't even think that she was worth that much. Okay. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Bolo Young. Now, everybody knows him. Now, I'm going to tell you who he is. We just got to talk today because this is wow. This is wow Wednesday. We just got to talk. He's the one who was always in the Bruce Lee flicks. And, you know, remember when they used to talk and the mouths would be moving separate than the words. And he then ended up being in Bloodsport. Everybody knows him. Come on, especially if you old school. He's the only real fighter everybody knows. He was a big bruised bully. He's always in everybody's face. He's worth $1.5 million after all this time. Macaulay Culkin. Okay. $15 million. Let's see who else. Amanda Bynes. $5 million. Kid Rock. $80 million. Oh, my goodness. Mike Tyson. All right. How much y'all think Mike Tyson is worth? Come on. I hear you. Okay. Mike Tyson. $3 million, and he is looking old, y'all. Oh, my goodness. Halle Berry, $90 million. Her face alone, what are they insuring that for? Diana Ross, $250 million. Let's see who else we can find that's kind of interesting. Somebody we know, because I don't know these other people. Let me see if I can find a couple more before we hang this conversation up. Dog the Bounty Hunter, $6 million. Yeah. I don't think we're going to find anybody else that's... Yeah, we're talking about this today. This is what happens when I lose my news. I don't know what happened. Don't ask. So today's my down day while we wait for everybody to join on. Okay, I don't think I can find anybody. But here's why this was like kind of interesting to me. Here we have people who can't even get a plate of food, and these people have on this money. Demi Lovato, $30 million. And it's just amazing. It's amazing. It's like billions, but you couldn't even spend. Ray Rice, $14 million. You couldn't even spend this money. You couldn't even spend this money. And there are people who literally don't have a plate of food. $16 million for Rosario Dawson. Lucy Liu, everybody knows Lucy Liu, $16 million. O.J. Simpson. All right, how much is O.J. Simpson worth? A hot $3 million. Billy D. Come on, y'all. Billy D. After all this time, how much is Billy D worth? $9 million. Okay. Yeah. I think that's all of the good people. People that we want to know. Yeah. Okay, no, I'm sorry. Clint Eastwood, $375 million. Jaleel White. Everybody knows Jaleel White. Urkel, $1 million. How in the world did he get to $8 million? Wow. Christian Slater, $20 million. All right. So this is what these people are worth. And whether we agree with it, disagree with it, will they ever know what to do? Billions and 750 million. This is a lot of money, y'all. This is a lot of money. Dang. And some of us don't have a plate of food, any shoes. Yeah, that's kind of serious right there. That's kind of serious right there. I mean, they work and they earn their money. And they have every right to, you know, amass it. But it's just interesting that this is how much one individual. Do you know how many people that could feed, how many homes that could buy? And you think about it. You know, you look around places like Detroit that have deteriorated. You look around at parts of New York that, you know, they're building up and they're calling affordable housing, and you've got to make all this money. And if these people were to, like, invest nothing, if they were to invest $1 million, they wouldn't lose a thing. They wouldn't lose no sleep. And I'm not saying that they're not. You know, I'm not saying they're not. What I am saying, though, is if we're just looking at this list, because this list is not, you know, does not include absolutely everybody. But if we think about it, what is there any part of this nation in dire straits when the COVID hit? Now, this was just published. When COVID hit, people did not have anything. Think about it. People didn't have anything. People were cooking to feed other people. We've always had a homeless problem. Look at the poor veterans who go to war, who have been to war, who've been in the military, have gone over, and they don't have a place to live. They fought for this country, and they don't have a place to live. And you're sitting and you're holding $750 million. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of money. And then we're looking at people who don't have the basics. Wow. If all of these people were to get together and do, you know, just commit to insuring. I mean, how much money would it really take? Because they would get all kind of tax breaks and all kind of things. We wouldn't have these issues. Houses falling apart. Elderly people, their homes are falling apart. You know, we were driving, a few years ago, we were driving by this place up in Pennsylvania. And, oh, my goodness, the houses, the homes were just like 2 seconds from if a real good wind blew by, it would be like messed up. How much would it cost to really fix up these people's homes? And if, you know, somebody just came through with that kind of money, and like I said, I can't say that they haven't, but it would really be nice. And it would really be nice. And, you know, if you've been blessed enough to, you know, get that kind of money, then amen. You know, it would be wonderful. for everybody to share. Remember, that's what they did in Acts. In Acts 2 and Acts 4, that's what they did. Everybody pooled their resources so that no one would have to do without. And that's what I was thinking about as I was kind of, look, I just scrolled past the first two before I even pulled it up this morning. I was like, okay, I'm going to read this on the air. I didn't even realize, like, certain people were on there because I didn't go past, like, the first couple of pages. But as I'm reading, all of this stuff is coming to my mind. You know, if everybody just got together and put their money together, you wouldn't have to take your $35,000, $40,000 and struggle with it. And I'm not saying they work and they need to do this. However, they need to do this. They need to do this. You know, God has blessed you to have it. And, you know, for those who have done it, God bless them. And for those who haven't, God bless them. Because, remember, that's what the Bible talks about. You know, it says, listen, I'm looking around. You know, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was in jail, in the prison, you didn't visit me. And they said, oh, no, we didn't do that. We didn't do it. He says, yeah, but when you didn't do that for your brother, you didn't do that for me. So, you know, we need to just get together and we need to pray. And for all the people who do have this kind of money, we pray that they do, you know, God will deal with their heart so that they can do this and we don't have to watch people hungry and homeless. Okay? So I just thought I'd share that with you today. That was kind of interesting to me. Kind of interesting to me. So let me give you this number so we can move on. 516-387-1358. Again, the number is 516-387-1358. We have our ladies in the house. Everybody is accounted for. So now we can move forward. So we're going to take a quick break for you to make sure that you've taken the time to call a friend, to text somebody and let them know that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on, and we're about to get this conversation jumping. Apple of his eye, are you a daddy's girl? Be right back.
You are listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph, and it is, well, Wednesday. Yeah, so we got a little conversation today going on, and we have some beautiful ladies in the house. So let's say good morning to our sister, Sherelle Ferrer. Good morning, Sherelle.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well, thank you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Can't complain. Thank God.
All righty, all righty. Thank you for being with us today. Let's go on to say good morning to our girlfriend, Tamika. How are you, Tamika? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am well, thank you. I'm well. And last but definitely not least, we have our sister friend, Elder Natisha, on the phone with us today. Good morning.
Good morning, family. I'm so excited to be here today.
Well, thank you so much. We're excited to have you and all the ladies in the house. Thank you so much, ladies, for joining us and taking your, you know, the time out of your busy day to spend with us. You know, a few weeks ago, we were on the phone with our Due Time crew, and we were talking about, we stumbled on being a mama's boy. So we ended up with an entire day dedicated to mama's boys and what a mama's boy was and what we do with them and all that kind of good stuff. So I just had to flip the coin and talk about our ladies, because they had already spoken about the ladies being a daddy's girl and some of the pros and cons, but we heard from the men. So we wanted to make sure we hear from the ladies, and the ladies have been clamoring, asking where our ladies are. So thank God for you three coming through today. So let's talk about being a daddy's girl. Are you a daddy's girl? What about you, Sherelle? Are you a daddy's girl?
Absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt.
All right. What about you, Tamika?
From the rooter to the tooter, I'm all a daddy's girl.
All righty. And our little lady over here, Natisha, what goes on with you?
Well, I'm a little more complicated. I'm not a daddy's girl, but I love my dad immensely.
All right. Well, we always like to get both sides of the fence. So here we got it today. So, you know, let's talk about what a daddy's girl is. You know, without a shadow of a doubt, Sherelle, you said I'm a daddy's girl. So let's talk about, what does a daddy's girl mean to you? Why do you say emphatically, absolutely I am?
Well, I'm going to say this, and I know my siblings probably going to hear this, but I don't care, but I was his favorite. Out of all 8 siblings, I was his.
You were his favorite. So tell me, what were some of the perks?
We just had that connection. Like, my father, I'm a PK kid. And, you know, we talk daily. Well, my father's been gone now for 8 years now, which I miss him immensely. But I got my way a lot. We just had that special connection where we just, you know, words, we didn't need words. We just can look at one another, and we just knew what each other was thinking, and it was just that connection was just there between us. And I did get away with some things that some of my other siblings didn't get away with, but that's because I was his favorite, so hey, whatever.
Where do you fall in the 8?
Well, I have 8. When my mother met my father, she had 4 kids already. So I'm the oldest, basically, between my mother and father.
Okay.
Mm.
Wow, and you still managed to be the favorite. Wow, okay. Not a bad deal. Tamika, why do you consider yourself to be a daddy's girl? What makes you the daddy's girl?
There was, like previously said, there's always been a connection between me and my dad. And just like she said, my father's no longer living, but like the relationship with my dad, because I was the oldest, I bear the responsibility. And unlike most females, my dad taught me how to, you know, I could strip a floor, I can paint a wall, I can, you know, those were the things that he taught me, because my father had a disability. He had physical inability. So, you know, it wasn't one of those things whereas, you know, oh, well, he'll just let me get away with things. I learned things, and, you know, it was one of those things. Daddy could fix everything. And I just kind of just love that thing. If I had a problem, I'd go to daddy.
Okay. So, Ms. My thing is just a little more complicated, not Tisha. So talk to us. Talk to us.
Well, mine is a little complicated because my relationship with my dad didn't develop until later. So I was raised by my mom, who was an alcoholic, and my dad wasn't allowed. He wasn't allowed to be around. My mother pushed him away. But I want to say in about my 30s, my dad and I really started to connect more. He was never, like, totally absent, would always be around, but we didn't have the connection because we didn't grow up in the same house. But anytime, you know, things were happening for Christmas, birthdays, he would call, so he was never estranged, thank God. But it wasn't until I got into my 30s that we developed this amazing relationship. We have a standing date we go on once a month. My dad sends me a good morning text every morning, including the weekends, letting me know what the weather is going to be. So we have an amazing relationship today, but it didn't start out that way.
Okay. Better late than never. Some of the people in the household you don't hear from every day. So this is, you know, sometimes we gain something later. So thank God for that. So here's what we want to talk about, one of the things we want to talk about today. How has this affected your adulthood? How has this affected your relationships? Now, two of you are married. So I would love to hear how this affected your relationship and subsequently your marriage. And so how about you, Sherelle? What kind of dynamic did you have with your husband? Let's start with, what were the expectations? You know, being a daddy's girl, you know, you had to have some expectations for the man you were, dating and then ultimately marrying. What kind of, you know, dynamic did we have?
I mean, ultimately, a woman, you know, when you were born, when you're raised with your father, a woman is usually looks for someone who has attributes of their father. That's just normal. And when I met my husband, I was young. He reminded me, some of the things that he did reminded me of my father, which was a great thing. And so he honored me, he respected me, he respected my beliefs, he respected my position, he respected, you know, the things that that I had going on inside. So we didn't really have any bumping heads when it came to that because he was so much like my father. He reminds me of my father. Looking now, when I look at him and how he deals with his girls, because we have 7 girls, and they have that relationship. I sit back and I watch them, and they have that relationship that I have with my father. So he's kind of just like my father in a way. So that was a blessing for me. So I didn't give him too much.
Nice mirror. Tamika, you're not married, but how did that affect, you know, your dating?
I don't think I was one of the individuals that was per se looking for daddy, but just as previously mentioned, I found that the relationships that I did engage in were similar, and including my current relationship in that my father was a comedian. I mean, he could tell a joke like nobody's business. And the relationship that I'm in now, the person that I'm dating, is just, it keeps me laughing all the time.
Okay. So sense of humor does matter. Everybody
it's
wants somebody
vital.
Who's going to keep them laughing. Somebody's going to keep them laughing. So now, Tisha, how did this affect your relationship, your dating? And you've been married for quite some time. So how did this affect the dynamic of your dating and then subsequently the man you chose to get married?
So a couple of ways it affected like my choice in dating. One, like most young girls that come out of single family homes, there are some emotional securities that were lacking that you're looking for in a relationship. And so I married a man that was extremely affectionate, someone who, so Greg and I were friends, you know, we've been together since we were in high school. And so we were friends. And every time Greg and I got together, he was trying to take care of me. He would be like, you know, did you eat today? Are you okay? You want to go to lunch? and so, you know, I fell in love with what I felt like I didn't have. I fell in love with a man who provided security and affection. And so, you know, that's the positive side. But the negative side is the rockiness inside of the relationship for our first year or two, because I was such an independent woman. You know, when you grow up in a household with all women and I'm the oldest, you learn to be independent. And like one of my sisters talked about how her dad taught her how to paint walls and, you know, shellac floors and things. Well, my grandmother was a jack of all trades. We grew up in a tenement building. We didn't wait for the landlord to come and fix anything in our apartment. We fixed locks. We changed, put down carpets. My grandmother was one of those women who we just did what we had to do. And so when I entered into my marriage, I pretty much just also did what I had to do. And the advice my grandmother gave me on my wedding day was, you don't trust no man. So I kept my bank account to the side and had my she stash and wasn't very forthcoming and things of that nature with everything. So that created, as you can imagine, that created turbulence in the first, you know, year or two of our marriage. But there's another father, right, that we haven't talked about yet, but there's another father that comes in and changes our identity. And once I got close to my heavenly father, it changed my identity, and I began to understand how to trust. I began to understand how to allow my husband in and to lean on him and not necessarily have to be so. I'm still independent, but not so independent that I emasculate my husband. But it was rocky.
Okay. Nice. You know, I was looking at this article, and it talked about signs that you're a daddy's girl. And I kind of did that with our gentleman. But this is a little different. And you may have mentioned it, and you may not have mentioned it. But because we have two sides of the fence, I would really like to hear the dynamic in these particular areas. So one of the things it says that if you're a daddy's girl, you're not paranoid. And what they're basically saying is, you know, because your dad showed you this example of, I guess, being grounded and focusing and, you know, don't get out of sorts, you know, when things jump up and jump off and happen. How did that, being paranoid, do you think that being a daddy's girl made the difference for you, Sherelle?
Absolutely. Because of my, for me, it was mostly because of faith, really, actually, because my father was very strong in his faith, raising eight children and being the one working. And my mom was the same at home mom, so he was the one. He was the breadwinner, bringing the money home, taking care of eight kids financially. And you know, we wasn't raised rich, but growing up, I didn't see us being poor either. We ate every day, so I saw how his faith and his trust was in God. So I copied that. So that's how I see it. It was mostly the faith for me.
Okay. What about you, Tamika? Having a dad, did that strengthen that area where you're not, being the daddy's girl, you're not paranoid?
I would definitely say it did, because of the dynamics between my parents. My mother was the breadwinner. She was the one that came to work, and my father was the one who was disabled, and he stayed home. But, you know, whenever anything transpired a lot, you know, my mother had her head together, but, you know, a situation come up, she, you know, she starts to yell and scream and holler, and my dad is like, just think about it. Calm down. Review it, you know. And in my head, a lot of times I just think about things that it automatically applies in my head. You know, I start thinking about things that he said, you know, don't panic, don't freak out, give yourself a moment, breathe, and then go back to it. You know, it's not going to take you over. Just relax. Just give it a half an hour. It's not going to kill the situation. Just wait and now work. And it, and I think the dynamic with him being in my life really did help me.
Okay, okay. Now, Natisha, you mentioned some stuff, and having a stable grandma and a strong grandma could have definitely helped that paranoia, because you didn't have to worry about a lot because you just go change it yourself. But let's talk about it from the daddy side. You know, you didn't have your dad. Did that affect maybe how you looked at things, you know, maybe panicked a little bit more? How did that work for you?
Absolute straight paranoid.
Really?
Straight paranoid. But if we define paranoid, right? Paranoid is a unrealistic, if you would, distrust of another person. And so, I mean, there were so many things, right? Now, I can't even just isolate it to the daddy issues. It was the dysfunction of my childhood altogether that created that distrust of people. I had been sexually abused. And so, you know, surrounding the daddy issue was just simply man issues because of some of the abuse that I had gone through. So it isn't isolated to the daddy issue, but my daddy not being there, not protecting me, kind of created this super strength that said, I have to protect myself. So therefore, when I went out in the world, just looking at everyone sideways until you proved otherwise. So you started off guilty. You didn't start off innocent until proven guilty. You started off guilty until proven innocent.
Interesting. Wow. Men, are you listening? A lot to listen to this morning. So they say you're highly motivated and determined. And I got to say, listening to you three, having spoken to you three, you sound like three highly motivated and determined women. So, you know, let's talk about this for a hot second. We ain't got to lay here very long because, you know, y'all probably have said it already. But, you know, for people who need this stuff compartmentalized, Sherelle, let's hear from you. Highly motivated and determined.
Yes, I am. I am a go-getter. Like, if I want to do something or I want to achieve something, there is absolutely nothing that will be able to stand in my way. I will push it to the side, and I will keep my eyes on the prize and keep moving forward. That is me, go-getter. Highly motivated.
And does that come from daddy, daddy's girl?
Yes. Daddy was the same way as well. Yep.
Okay. Tamika, highly motivated and determined.
Definitely. You know, I'll go ahead and cook breakfast and then realize, you know, while I'm cooking this breakfast, I'll look over there and look and realize that something needs to be done. I don't necessarily have to call somebody to do it. I'll take it apart, figure it out, work with it, tinkle with it a little bit, and it's fixed. Let's go. What's the next thing? You know, I'm on to the next thing. There's always a drive. And I definitely would attribute my dad to that.
Okay. See, I can see your grandma's story is going to stick in my head, Natisha. That grandma's story is going to stick in my head. Ripping up carpets and changing locks. That's going to be locked in my head. But because I personally know how highly motivated and determined you – oh, I got to sneeze. I'm sorry. Excuse me, how highly motivated and determined you are. But, you know, how did that affect you? Drove you?
Well, you know what, I'll say this. You know, as I grew closer to my dad, I can say that I definitely attributed, his determination and motivation. You know, I saw my dad walk through one of the most difficult periods of his life, well-able, body man, had a stroke that has left him disabled. And it has not stopped my dad. My dad, regardless of, how he may have felt emotionally about it, has continued to just thrive. He goes swimming in order to try to strengthen the left side of his body that is no longer operable. He jumps in his wheelchair and he goes zooming off. You got to be like, Dad, don't knock me over. And so just watching him go through this, watching him still maintain a positive spirit, watching him not give up, not stop, has shown me that, okay, there are some things that some traits and some characteristics that I have, inherited from my dad. I think in terms of our foundation and how we're developed, right, it all of it fits together, all of it. It's like when you think about, seed in the ground, there's so many elements that cause a flower to grow. It's the dirt, right? So it's the ugly things in life, but then it's the water, right? It's the things, the experiences, the water that has, helped us to grow and that has taught us. And so I think all of it, from my dad not being there to my dad coming back, I will say my life is 1,000 times better because my dad is in my life, because I can call him, because I can, have that relationship with him. And all of that has helped me to be just determined and motivated and helped me continue to want to make him proud, right? He's my only living parent. So unlike these other ladies who lost their dad, I actually lost my mom. And so in losing her, he's what I have left. He's my living parent. And so, constantly working to say, look, Dad, look what I'm doing today. Or, hey, Dad, pray for me. I'm going to be doing this today. And that just continues to encourage me and motivate me.
Okay. Well, you ladies, I have to say, are encouraging others. And as women listen, they will be encouraged by this because, as we all know, a lot of times, like Natisha said, the foundation, based on that foundation, it definitely affects how you go forward. This makes you who you are, and it can drive you, or it can slow you down, or it can you won't even progress at all because you're still stuck in that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go through. It may seem pretty tedious, but I wanted to go through all of these things because, we know that ladies, women, little girls, teenagers, they go through a lot of things with identity crisis. They go through a lot of things with self-esteem. They go through a lot of things with confidence. And like I said, who better to get than you three ladies? Because, like I said, even if I only had one conversation with you, I could hear who you are. The only one I've really had any long-term conversation or long-time relationship with is our elder Nitesha. But, for Lady Sherelle and Lady Tamika, just my one conversation with you, I can hear, who you are. Maybe not to the core, but listen, strong women know strong women. Strong women know weak women. Weak women know strong women. So you could definitely hear. And you know what? Your spirits pull. You attract one another. So, when I was listening to you and I've dialogued with all of you, it's like, wow, these are the women I need to get that whichever side of the fence you fell on, you would definitely benefit anybody, because we have women who are still in their 50s, who are not still in their 50s, but have gone through their teens and 20s and 30s and 40s, and now in their 50s, and they're still suffering somehow. So, when you talk about these individual things, now they can hear, well, she didn't have, but she did, or she did, and she shouldn't. Because I've seen, we have all seen women with dads in the home, and you're like, okay, well, what's your problem? Yeah, what happened to you? You know, it's like, how in the world did you become all a misfit and you had both your parents? You know, you ever saw that? It's like, it's a real weird dynamic where you've seen people come from a strong home, good work, hardworking parents, and you are out there and crazy. And for some reason, some people just rebel from that. Yeah. And you just, again, because everybody's an individual, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. You know, we can only go with the appearances. You know, but generally we tend to think that, you know, if you come from strong parents and things like this, you got it made, girl. You should walk around with all this confidence. You should walk around knowing who you are and, you know, what you can achieve. And so that's why I said, when I was looking at this list, I'm like, no, we got to break this list down because we all know women who need that boost. We all know women who need that encouragement in all of these different areas. So I so appreciate you all just kind of walking this walk with me this morning and just helping our ladies and whoever may be listening that might be a younger woman, that she can, you know, get through it. You know, that there's women out here that are doing this. And let's continue to encourage them. So here's one of them, the areas that I really thought was really good. It says when you come from a strong relationship with your dad, when you are a daddy's girl, you can handle criticism. That was a good one. That was a good one. Good one. Good one. Good one. So let's start with you, Tamika. Can you handle criticism better because of your relationship with your dad?
I believe that I would say yes. A lot of times what I find is when someone's saying something to me, I may not necessarily process it at that moment. You know, I'll listen to what you have to say, even if it's, you know, because I'm at the mindset that what you're saying to me is constructive and that you don't mean me any harm, you know. And so I have to think about what it is that you've said about me and then start looking around. Okay, you know, kind of confirm, did somebody else say the same thing about me? Am I finding that people are reacting the same way? Maybe it's something that I'm doing that might be, you know, throwing people off, as opposed to just when you're saying something to me, flying off the handle. I have to understand that what you're saying to me is to better me. And I think that because I had my dad in my life, he was always wondering, you know, I would come home from school or whatever, and he'd say, can we talk? And I'm like, oh, God, what did I do? You know, but that was his way of preparing me for whatever it is, you know, that might come my way. You know, I didn't have my dad for the majority. I had him up until I was in my 30s, and then he left, you know. But he had the building standards for me so that I knew, you know, this is how it's going to be. You're going to have times when you come home and he's going to say, baby, can we talk? And I mean, so he had already geared me for that type of thing. When I get to that moment, then I know it.
Okay. Natisha, can you handle criticism? How has that affected that area of your life?
So I can handle criticism. Again, right, it's difficult to attribute it, though, to my dad because I didn't grow up with my dad in the house, but I can attribute it to just growth again. And for me, I have to kind of keep bringing in like that dual father, because it's not just my physical father that has played a significant role in my life, but it's my heavenly father that has played a enormous role in my life. And so because of my spiritual father, because of my heavenly father, my self-esteem is built up. I'm confident in who I am. So when it's time to have difficult conversations, I can because my identity has already been set and established, and there's nothing that you can say that would take away from who I am. The only thing, you know, you can do is shed light from the outside of what something can appear to be, and I could either take that and grow from it, or I can say, you know, that that's actually more of a you thing than it is a me thing. So I'm able to sit in those moments and know when it's something that is beneficial for my growth, or when it is something
that is not necessarily something for me to wear. But that's because of my Heavenly Father.
Okay, okay. And Sherelle, criticism. How have you been able to handle criticism?
I mean, honestly, I can now, but, you know, I had to grow into that. It depends on who it's coming from, what type of relationship we have, and where, you know, where the place that it's coming from. So if it's coming from a place of love, then I can take it. But if I feel like it's not a place of love, then you can miss me with that. You can go somewhere else with that.
Has it, and it's always been that way?
Yes, it has always been that way. Yeah, it has. It has. Yeah. Because,
You were saying?
Yes, it's always been, because I'm really not, I don't know, maybe because I'm not, you know, sometimes I have a, you know, a wall that goes up, so I intentionally put that wall up because I don't want to feel certain pain or certain hurt, so I don't let things or let people come that close. So for constructive criticism, you have to have a certain relationship with me. So I couldn't take it from everybody because we didn't have that relationship. So you couldn't correct me or help me with anything because you don't know me enough to help or correct me in a certain manner. But that's a deeper, another whole issue. So.
Okay, okay. How was the chastisement and the criticism from your dad? Did you get any?
No, I can take it from him because that was from a person that I knew that loved me.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't hard to take it from him.
And that's where I was
that,
going.
That,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That relationship.
That's exactly
was there.
Why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's why.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, because it came from a person. That's my dad. I have that relationship with him. He knows me. You know, that's the way we vibe. I could take it from him. And anybody
right.
outside of that realm came across very differently. No, no, no,
right.
no. Excuse me. You ain't in that pocket right now with me. So no. So yeah, that, and that's exactly where I was going. I figured that. I figured that much, because you can. You know, again, this is why this stuff comes up. You know, let me say this to you ladies, and this is something, and I've said this on the broadcast before. I remember, I don't know what happened in the church one day, and. Somebody, one of the young ladies said something. And by the time we got finished, it had spilled out on the floor that every single woman in this church had an issue with her father.
Mm.
Every single one of them. I was flabbergasted. I have never in my life been in that arena. When I tell you from the front to the back, from the left to the right, and it was all for various reasons. But it then began to answer a whole lot of questions. Why you couldn't talk to this one that way, why this one didn't want to hear you come from that way, why this one was all sensitive that way. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, I remember where it started from. One of the girls had just gotten pretty much reconnected with her dad, and she really wasn't feeling it. So she started talking about it, and someone said, I understand because. And, boy, did that get the ball. And I was like, oh, my gosh, what in the world? I could not believe it. I could not believe it. And I was like, wow. Now, keep in mind, these are all young people. These are all young ladies. All young ladies in their 20s and early 30s. And I'm looking in the room, and I'm like, now, some of them are married, some in relationships. Some not in relationships. So you've got a plethora of stuff going on. And now you say, well, now I see why this relationship ain't going too well. And now I see why you basing up in his face. And now I see why you, you know, it began to answer a lot of questions. And one of the things was this criticism area. You know, you can't take criticism because, you know, either the father criticized them and they didn't appreciate it, or they had that relationship like you, Sherelle, that said, you know, well, listen, that was our thing. You know, I could take it from people that I know, people that I love, and people that I'm close with, but anybody on the outside of that, you know, now I'm not welcoming that. I don't care how constructive it may be. I'm not, like you said, miss me with that one. So, you know, again, you know, you are all older women. You're in your 40s, I'm sure. And it's amazing because you see how this stuff develops. Like was said earlier, from the foundation. So that's why I said when I was reading this list, I'm like, oh, my goodness gracious. You know, a lot of people don't understand where this stuff comes from. It has an origin. It has an origin. And, you know, we have to think about how it affects our life in its totality. It does not stay confined to one area. It affects your entire life. So Go ahead.
I was going to say, I said, you're absolutely correct with that. I watched the dynamic between my husband and my daughter. So we have two daughters, a 17-year-old and a 22-year-old. And I watched the dynamic between my husband and my 22-year-old. And right now, they are water and oil. They just aren't mixing. And it has everything to do with her not responding well to the criticism, you know, whether it's the way she's handling her practices, whether it's, you know, hey, how are you walking out of the house? What is presentable? What are you posting on social media, you know, that is not reflecting the Moore brand?
right.
The way that we expect it to be, you know, presented. And so right now she's not taking well to the criticism, and it has caused such a wedge between them. And so I find myself constantly just kind of in the middle saying to her, you may not understand it right now, and it may be annoying right now, and you just want to be free and grown right now, but you will appreciate what your father is trying to get you to understand and the way that he is taking you. But yeah, I wanted to just co-sign with what you're saying. As a young person, and you know, when you finally get grown, you know, you don't want to have someone speaking into what you feel you already know, even though you're not fully reached full maturation.
right. Wow. We're going to stick a pin right here, ladies, and we're going to take a break as we go into our Techie Talk segment. So I ask you to just kind of hang out with us for a little bit, and we'll be right back, okay?
Sure will.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, we have our lady Sherelle Farrell. We have our lady Tamika Evans-Jones. We have our elder Natisha Moore. And they are really, really helping to shed some light on this daddy girls thing and how it affects you, how it has affected them. And I hope you're taking notes. You know, sometimes it's not until we hear some other stuff that we get an understanding. It's like, oh, it makes sense now why I feel like this, or it makes sense why I feel like that. But here's the thing that has been said a couple of times before we go into our break. We have the best father that we could ever have. So regardless of the relationship with our natural father, our heavenly father can help definitely take a needle and thread and sew together any areas of our life that need mending. It's due time with Pastor Steph. It's Wow Wednesday. We'll be right back.
You are listening to a special rebroadcast of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph.
What's a morning without some dew? Spend yours with Pastor Steph.
Good morning to you. You're on with It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Wow Wednesday, and we have been graced with the presence of three wonderful and powerful ladies, and we're taking just a quick break from our apple of his eye. Are you a daddy's girl segment? And it is going extremely well. They have definitely helped to shine some light on some things, and we're going to take a quick break to go into our little techie talk segment with Dwayne McGleese. So let's say good morning to Dwayne. Good morning, Dwayne.
Good morning. Yes, yes. Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
How are you today? I'm well, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
What you got
doing
for us
fine.
Today?
Fine. I'm doing so well.
Good.
Well, today, over here I live in Illinois, but I work in Indiana, and I work for four charter schools in Indiana. And for the past 2 weeks, school has started here, and we are going into the virtual world with schools, meaning that, as you most know, because of the COVID situation, the students or scholars, is what we call them, are allowed to take home technology in terms of iPads, which are tablets, and laptops, which are Chromebooks, little small devices, and they're allowed to take them home, and hopefully they are configured to go on to Zoom in order for the teachers to teach them. What the problem that we're running into right now, and I really wanted to let our listeners know, is that we're not getting enough participation from the students. The students are not showing up to the classrooms, the virtual classrooms. And it's a shame because being on the IT end of it, I also see the administration pretty much, you know, driving themselves crazy to get the technology out, even to a point of giving some families a thing called a MiFi, which is a hotspot, which is a small device that you can use at home in case you don't have internet service at your house. You can actually turn this device on and have your student connect to that device, and they will have access to the internet at home. So we have so many supporting staff in the background doing their work just for only 4 to maybe 8 students show up in the virtual classroom where there's supposed to be 23 to 25 students are supposed to be online. I've also seen parents show up to the school and argue with the administration about getting the technology. And it might be the same parents who don't stay to make sure that your child is using the technology. So I just want to encourage, you know, the parents out there to, and I know it's hard. I know that a lot of parents have to work, and they're relying on their children to get on the sessions on their own maybe, or, you know, but I'm just encouraging, please, you know, have your students get on to these sessions. I mean, class is in session. And, you know, we're trying so hard to make sure that they get an education, although we're living in a time right now in this particular season of COVID that is very difficult for parents to focus on, you know, making sure the kid gets on, make sure they have breakfast in the morning before they get on, make sure they don't stay up late at night playing games or watching TV, you know, so they can't get up or have a struggle to get up, or relying on your child to get up on their own and while you go to work and everything. It's very difficult in the household for whatever reason that's going on. But keep in mind that your child is supposed to be online, and they do have access to get onto these sessions. The teachers are waiting to help. We even have supporting staff that if some of the parents have an issue connecting to Zoom or that kind of deal. We have people in place that will help you out and all. So, you know, please, you know, push your child, you know, stay on your child to make sure they get on these sessions. It's very sad to walk around to the classrooms at times and you only see about four kids on there and they're not keeping still. they're eating breakfast while they're supposed to be focusing on school. I mean, some of the stories I could tell you, this whole so hilarious. I mean, some of the kids, they finally get on, and they don't know how to, like, pull the camera, because most of the devices have built-in cameras and microphones. So they don't know how to stand the iPad a certain way so that, you know, you can see their face and see their expressions on their faces to see if they're getting it, if they have any questions or whatever. Sometimes you're looking at the ceiling. Sometimes you're looking at a fan. Sometimes you're only getting, like, the top part of their head because they don't know how to adjust the camera so they can focus on themselves. And then there's a bunch of noise going on in the background, you know, the parents or the brothers and sisters arguing in the background, and the dogs are barking and fighting and everything. So. And most of the kids are in their bedroom. You know, they're laying down and they're not really focused. I mean, it's suggested that, you know, you have your child use the dining room table and sit up and sit straight, you know, and so they're in that position as if they're in school, you know.
Right, right.
So some of the parents don't get it. They just let the kid do whatever. Some of the kids are outside, you know, and it's windy outside and everything, and they are just not focused at all, you know. But, you know, I want to encourage those parents who are at home, you know, please get the kids on, you know, practice proper etiquette in terms of, like, having them sit at the dining room table as if they're in school, you know. It shouldn't skip a beat. You know, the teacher's not directly in front of them, but yet they are directly in front of them. So, and it helps out the teacher to keep track of the students and everything, to grade them appropriately. You know, it's just, you know, it's my observation, and I just want to let the parents know out there, you know, this is just a season. It will be over eventually. I don't know when it will be. I know that there are talks that's going on, like, every 1 to 2, maybe sometimes 3 months, to find out what we're going to do in the following months to come in terms of maybe having, like, a hybrid type environment for the children, where they could come to school a certain length of time, you know, for classroom sessions, and then do virtual sessions as well. I overheard some talks about the high school kids coming in for maybe 5 hours, you know, to the school, and then doing the rest virtually. You know, I'm hearing some things like the teachers coming to school from Monday to Thursday and then doing virtual sessions at home on Fridays. So, you know, they're trying different things and they're experimenting with different things. So, you know, they're really trying their best to do what they have to do.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. So, you know, now we hear it from the techie side, which is a really interesting dynamic, you know. But again, you've got that up close and personal view just as close as the teacher. So thank you for, you know, that observation, because, you know, sometimes when it's coming from the teacher, you ain't paying it all that, you know, that much attention. But definitely from someone who does not have that type of interest in it, it's good to hear from you. So thank you so much. I actually like that advice. I actually do. I think it's very beneficial. So I hope these parents are paying attention, especially for those of us here in New York who haven't started yet, who are opting to keep our children at home. These things are really, really critical for their progression at home. So thank you so much, Dwayne. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, sis. You're welcome. It's no problem at all. And I just want to encourage those that, you know, be careful what you ask for. I know that a lot of parents have to opt to have their children stay at home because of the COVID situation. Well, guess what now? You know, the kids at home, encourage them to get on those sessions. It's so
right,
very important.
Right.
They still have to learn, you know?
Right.
And there's so much work being done in the background. I can't stress how much work is being done from the IT level to the administration level to the teachers level, you know, having to adjust a new way of learning or teaching. You know,
right,
it's not easy
right,
to
right.
teach kids on a Zoom session.
No, it's not.
And then on top of that, Zoom acts up. That's when I come in. Zoom has been very, very difficult on a certain situations where the sound doesn't work and the video doesn't work. So we have to pretty much troubleshoot that and get that up and running. So, you know, in order for us to troubleshoot that and get that corrected, we need for the parents to get on with their child and let's deal with it then and there instead of waiting until
right.
later on to deal with it. You know, at that point. So,
right.
but I thank you so much, Stephanie. I love
you.
The format of your shows, and you know, I appreciate the sis and the three ladies are doing their thing. God bless them. They're really
thank
doing their
you.
Thing. It's good to hear them.
Thank you so much for the encouragement. We so appreciate you. So you enjoy and keep on getting that techie information for us. We need you.
I certainly will. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Have a blessed one.
You too. God bless.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, parents. You heard what he said. You asked for it. You got it. Home study. You got to make sure you take some time and take a part in these kids doing their lessons, all right? You can only imagine what it must be like for the teachers, okay? So thank Dwayne for, you know, helping us get that view from his side. So without any further ado, we're going to pull our beautiful ladies back up. Our lady Sherelle Ferrer, we have our lady Tamika Evans-Jones, and we have our elder Nitisha Moore. I'd like to say good morning to you ladies again. Thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right. So let's pick up quickly. We have a few more minutes. Here's one of the things that I wanted to talk about. This is a portion of a self-esteem thing. It says that if you are a daddy's girl, you're not overly concerned with your appearance. Now, we're not talking about you're not going to dress up, you know, when you need to. We're not talking about, you know, not looking good for your man or your husband. We're not talking about that. We're talking about, you know, I hope you know where we're going with this. You know, you've got this issue with, you know, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too this, I'm too that, and which now causes you to go into a headspace that's not healthy. That's not healthy and not conducive to a positive lifestyle. So let's start with you, Sherelle.
Oh, I've dealt with self-esteem issues growing up, so I'm not sure about that. But I've dealt with, you know, hitting a number of things on my body, like my lips, and, you know, I thought I was too skinny, had no hips, you know. So I'm not sure about that, you know,
okay.
for me. But.
No. Okay, well, here, you know, this is just opinion, and that's why we're going through this, because we, you know, like you said, everything ain't going to be accurate, everything is not
right.
going to be personal, you know, or it's not going to be able to attest to what you have gone through, so that's an interesting thing. Tamika, what about you?
I want to get on your topic, but there is something that we discussed earlier, if you allow me just the freedom to say that I'd like to do that.
Sure.
And it was with regard to, I thought about my childhood, and when I was younger, daddy could say anything. He could come to me sideways. It just didn't matter, you know. But I found that, you know, when mom came, you know, I'm guarding my grill. I got my knuckles up because she getting ready to hit me at the throat. She getting ready to come. She coming at the jugular, you know. And
wow.
To me, you coming at me, you trying to take my life, you know, and I have to understand, you know, it was my aha moment because I said, wow, I never paid attention to the fact that Daddy could come any way he wanted to. He could come sleepy, he could come joking, he could come offensive, you know, but when Mama comes, oh, no, I got to guard, I got to put my knuckles up, you know. And, you know, I appreciate this moment because it brought clarity to me. Like, I thought about it, and Sister Cheryl said, everybody can't come at me certain ways. And I at first I said, yeah, I can take constructive criticism, and I can. But you have to be in the place where I can accept where you're coming from. You have to give me a moment to let you come in. You can't just come from the outside and just come towards that area. So I had to wake up and say, wait a minute, yeah. You know, I can take it constructively depending on where you live, you know, with me. You know, yeah, so that is definitely true. Now, with regard to my persona, yeah, with regard to my persona and, you know, attire, you know, I think we all, in some levels, have an issue with esteem, but it has nothing to do with what Daddy did in my case. Mm-hmm. Daddy was a comforter. When I came in the house, he wanted to kiss, and I said, why do you always want to kiss? You want a hug? But my daddy was showing me affection because he knew what I would have to deal with when I'm out there. When I'm out there, everything, every look is not, I appreciate you. Every look is not, you're nice. You know, you get expressions everywhere we go. And sometimes it creates a stigma in your mind. And you process things a different way, but it has absolutely nothing to do with Daddy.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing this point as well as the previous point. I'm glad you said aloud, I had that aha moment. Because that's, I always tell people, listen to who comes on. It's due time with Pastor Steph, and you're going to get that aha moment one way or another. So thank you so much for sharing that with us. Natisha, what's going on? You're not overly concerned with your appearance. How accurate is that for your life?
Well, I agree with my sister who just spoke. I think that, you know, when you leave your household and you come out into the world, the culture begins to dictate to you what beauty is, what beauty, should look like. And so because of that, you know, you start looking at yourself in the mirror and you measure yourself up to what the culture says, to what this world says. And then, you know, you start not liking elements of yourself. So for me, I was always fully developed. I was a 15-year-old with like a C cup and, you know, and it's round apple bottom. so I always felt fat, not realizing, like, girl, you're the brick house. Your body begging, girl, you know. And it wasn't until I started watching, hip-hop, Love and Hip-Hop, and them girls were all, you know, doing things to their body to look like what I naturally had that I started realizing, wait a minute, nobody told me I wasn't fat. I just, you know.
Wow.
I agree with my sisters. I don't think it has anything to do with what is, you know, established in the house. In the house, you are told that you're beautiful. You know, if you are in a healthy environment, you're told that you're beautiful. But when you come out into this world and you measure yourself up to what the world beauty is, that is where the problem and the identity crisis comes in at.
You're absolutely right, all of you. You know, it's what we see on TV. It's what we see in the magazines. It's what we see in the movies. It's what we see on Love and Hip Hop, you know, housewives of wherever, you know, that dictate and help you get either that, oh, my gosh, I don't look like that, or my body is banging because they're paying to get what I got naturally. So it's very interesting how it can actually come across to you as an individual. So, you know, we've discussed quite a bit here this morning. In this short amount of time, a lot of stuff has come out. And here's where I want to wrap this up with. And Lady and I, Tisha, has talked about it a couple of times here, and she talks about her Heavenly Father and how he has helped to reconcile this entire thing called father. Mm-hmm. Regardless of the dynamic of mm-hmm. your natural father, that whether you felt it was healthy, it was good, it was bad, it was there's the pros and cons, he has a way of just sewing together that needle and thread that's mending together all of the pieces that help you develop properly. Because you could have the best daddy's girl relationship and be the biggest mess in life. So it really does not help to dictate who you're going to be. It adds, you know, there's a lot of perks to it, as we, you know, as we've heard. And again, we see that you can make it even on the opposite side as well. So let's wrap this up. We're talking about how your Heavenly Father, the Heavenly Father, has really helped to just pull together everything in your life and has helped to make you the woman you are today. So we'll start with you, Sherelle.
Well, I cannot imagine my life without our Heavenly Father. Life can throw some things at you and you wouldn't know whether you're coming or going. So I just thank God for having life, having God in my life. I thank God for my parents introducing me to Christ, and I thank God for God reading my life. Listen, I've been through a lot, and having God there and being able to have someone to talk to when nobody else, not even my father, my closest friend, like he's gone now 8 years. So I have Christ in my life that will keep me grounded and keep me rooted and keep my head leveled. I just thank God for God. Like, he just means so much to me and my family. I cannot imagine my life without Christ. Amen? Just cannot.
Amen. 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 How about you, Tamika? Wait, speak for that relationship and how that can make and has made a difference in your life.
I think that, honestly, my life would be in peril or crisis without God. Currently, I'm almost 50 years old, and both my parents have gone and transitioned over. And he walked with me, and, like, the conversations that we have, and he's in my heart. You know, he knows my mind, my body, and the things that I've had to go through. This life is not easy. And knowing that he's there at just the moment when I need him. You know, sometimes things are not clear as a woman, and you want to lean. But when you know that you can lean on God, I don't know where I'm going. I might not know whether I should go left or right. But if I just keep moving, he'll direct me to where I need to go, to whom I need to speak to, whose life can I approach today, who am I going to affect today. How can I make it without him? So I know that without God, there would be no me. But the relationship that we have and the way that he speaks and the way that we commune is critical to my life.
Amen, 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 amen. Let's go. Let's wrap this up. I know you have a beautiful word for us to add to the wonderful words and encouraging words that the ladies are bringing tears to my eyes. Oh, my goodness. Nitricia, let's pull
yes,
this
ma'am.
Together.
So the moment we started talking about our Heavenly Father, the butterflies in my stomach came, my heart
yes.
got happy, and my eyes rolled back because I absolutely love him. And I love him because, And this is for every woman who has dealt with brokenness in their life, who has dealt with brokenness in their childhood. We serve a God that knows how to come into the South Bronx, where I'm from, find a little abused girl, pull her up and out of decay, pull her up and out of every statistic that has been assigned to my life because I grew up in the South Bronx, because I had an alcoholic mother. And I serve a God who knew how to reach down and pull me up and out of all of that, clean me up, help me to deal with my emotional issues, help me to deal with the mental issues as a result of it, help me to navigate through this world and everything that it had to say about me, help me unveil all of the layers of stuff that has been on me as a result of my experiences, my being promiscuous. Because when you come from brokenness, you find yourself with lost identity, and you can be promiscuous, or you can have a lost sense of identity. But we serve a God who knows how to maneuver through all of that and bring us back into rightful place with our image with him. When God came and found me, when he reflected before me continually and even to this day, he reflects before me his image that allows me to understand that I look like him. He built up my self-esteem because he said to me that I am a royal priesthood. He said to me that I am worthy of love. He said to me that I can expect to be loved because I am first loved by him. And so because of that, I am a better person today. And once he cleaned me up, he gave me a family. He gave me a husband. He gave me these two beautiful daughters. And so I now am living what I never saw. So I never experienced it for myself. And for the woman that's out there who's thinking that how can I do this when I've never seen it, I want you to understand that we serve a God that knows how to pull us in, clean us up, and teach us. As my sister said earlier, he knows how to teach us and direct us on how to live this thing out. So our Heavenly Father is in peril to everything we are and all that we hope to be.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. I want to say a hearty amen and giving God thanks for our lady, Sherelle Ferrer. Giving thanks for our lady, Tamika Evans-Jones, and giving thanks to God for our elder, Natisha Moore. You have really, really blessed our lives today. We could not have done it without you. And I love the roundup, apple of his eye. We can be the apple. We are the apple of God's eye, and we can definitely be that daddy's girl. So thank you so much, ladies. We give God thanks for you, and we pray that you have a blessed day. Thank you so much.
And you too.
Thank
take
you.
Care.
You as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. We give God thanks for our ladies. Oh, my goodness. Talk about a wrap-up. A wonderful, wonderful conversation, and we are definitely not going to waste any time. We are going to move straight in to our Faith Over Fear segment. Pastor Charlene, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How
good
are you
today? Morning. I am well, thanks. How are you?
Listen, the last sister that just taught, I dropped the mic. There's nothing else to say.
You know, the ladies were absolutely fantastic, especially in their wrap-up. You know, I so appreciate, you know, their candidness and their openness and sharing with us their experience. And, you know, there was a lot said. There was a lot said. But, you know, I always say you can never oversay something, especially if you're saying it in a certain way. And the dynamic of what you and I talk about each week is faith over fear. And that's exactly what they were talking about at the end when they gave us their wrap-up and their relationship with God and how they, you know, could not see themselves without the Lord in their life. And one of the things, you know, you talk about, and see, we could look at this from two dynamics. You have the two ladies who came up as daddy's girls, who had a fantastic relationship with their father and subsequently lost him. They had to learn to do without that. So that could have definitely taken another woman into a level of fear. How do I move on? How do I go forward? I've always had that comfort zone. I've always had that cushion. And then you come from the opposite end of a young lady, a child, who did not have that father in the house. Yes, we had grandma, we had mommy, and whether she was an alcoholic or not, maybe uncle and aunt and whomever else you may have had. And, you know, I don't have that dad. And she talked about very openly about her experiences and how do I go forward and how do I date and how do I get married. And now they all talk about victory. Amen. They talk about victory.
Hallelujah.
To help us transition from the fear factor into the faith factor, Pastor Charlene.
Well, I myself did not have my dad around, so I had to lean on the Lord myself. So it was great. Ladies, first I want to commend you for all that was said on today, because it helps everybody in different stages of their life of the missing dad or the dad being there, because we are the apple of God's eye, and that where the father is missing, our heavenly father did come and was there all the time, even when he was present. Amen. And I was able to really appreciate myself with Christ when my dad did, I got back into my dad's life. Amen. And where that the last 4 months, you know, because he was missing, I saw him every now and then. And when God spoke to me about forgiveness, because even when they're there, they, you know, we all make mistakes of being human. Amen. So when the Father came in, amen, which I'm talking about my Heavenly Father, and had me to forgive, amen, and have my heart to be open to Him, and even in when He was going on to be with God, you know, at the end, He opened up His eyes because He wasn't a churchgoer. So this all combines together with that he lifts his eyes up, and I kept telling him about Christ. And when I told him about Christ, his eyes lifted up, and it was like he was having a conversation and asking God for forgiveness, and the tears start rolling down. So pretty much at the end, the connection with it, he passed us on to our Heavenly Father. Let's look at just, it took me and reminded me when Jesus was on the cross, you know, and he told John to, now she, that would be your mother. Amen. And where that, I'm getting so excited, my words are starting to flip. And where that we got passed on to our Heavenly Father. Amen. And where that now he stepped in when she was there all the time. But that openness that you have that's missing, where that the faith that you have and you put it together, hallelujah, and you put it together, amen, and you was able to, you just lay into your Father and surrender to Him. And with the fear that you might have had because of, now my dad's not here and he's missing, you know, and with that, now I'm going to be daddy-less, you know, amen. And with that, those of us that didn't have a father, you know, of being fearful of when we come and connect with a husband, amen, or we come and connecting with another man of that fear of maybe one day you're going to be missing, you're here right now, and you might go away, amen, where that we just take that fear, amen, and we just take and make that faith be stronger, because it's saying the word, if you just have enough faith as a mustard seed, amen, and something, you know, of that faith of the mustard seed, you could be in church for years, but in different situations in your life, faith are different, amen, so where that you want that faith to grow. So that faith has continued to grow, and where that overfearing, amen, the faith will grow, and where that you overfear the faith, I mean the fear, amen, where that your faith becomes stronger, hallelujah, and where that you're able to lean on Him, and that's where we at right now. We got to always remember to lean on Christ, amen, in that faith, and just continue to ask those that don't know where to go and don't know what to do. Amen. And you have heard from our sisters how that the love of our Father, amen, that is stronger than any father ever could be. So I'm saying that our faith, just hold on to your faith and just call on your Father in Christ just for Him to make you stronger to help you, to lead you, amen, because that crutch sometimes you need, and it's like a 1 minute when you're crippled, you know, and you're walking with a crutch or you're walking with a walker, and, you know, and you get stronger and stronger, and then you take that and throw it on the side, and you run to your father because it's somebody that you might not, you'd be missing in your life, and you run up to him, and you wrap your loving arms around him, and he's right there with you. So keep your faith and know that you can over fear, amen, and conquer, that you have the love of Christ because you are the apple of his eye.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Charlotte, for just wrapping this all up. Thank you so much for wrapping this all up for us today. Wonderful, wonderful segment. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You do the same, and all that y'all are listening on, have a great and a wonderful day, and know that Jesus loves you, and there's nothing that you can do without him, and you shouldn't want to. God bless you all.
Amen. 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 Oh, y'all got Pastor Charlene preaching. Oh, my goodness. You got Lady Sherelle and Lady Tamika and Elder Natisha. You got Pastor Charlene preaching. Now, we always get a word, but, oh, she went into preaching mode today. We have a lot to be grateful for. A lot has been said. A lot needs to be absorbed. You know, I always say to people, it's amazing that I'm hosting, and I am favored by God to be hosting such a broadcast that I can bring my family and my friends on, and they can help me minister, that I even walk away with something every day. Every day I walk away with something. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you just thanking you for being who you are. When we didn't think we needed you, when we didn't even know you existed, when we just heard about this man called Jesus and we didn't pay it any attention, you, as Pastor Charlene said, was right there all the time. When we were a daddy's girl or when we were daddy-less, we always had a father. Thank you, God, for being who you are. Thank you, God, for loving us in that special way, in those special moments when we needed you and had no clue we needed you. Thank you, God, for pulling us through those times when we needed you and didn't know you were there and tried to figure out how we were going to make it. And I thank you, God, that you have allowed us to graduate and mature to the point that we understand that there is no us without you, that we have been given the blessed privilege of opening our eyes every day to be introduced to you and subsequently reminded that we are the apple of your eye. Thank you, God. How could we say thank you? It's just so trivial, just so small. But we say thank you anyhow. And Lord, we just ask you to touch every life of every listener. Lord, I know that somebody who listens to this broadcast, their life will be changed. Even the one who was ministering said, I got an aha moment. Well, praise be to you that as we're ministering, that you can open up our, oh, that you can open up our eyes right then and there, that there is never a moment that we can't have an aha moment. That as long as we are walking in you, we will always have an aha moment. There will always be a higher level we can go in understanding. There will always be a higher level that we can go in our awareness. That there is always a higher moment we can go in our thanksgiving. That there's always a moment that we can minister. There's always a moment we can tell of your goodness. There's always a moment that we can speak highly of you. See, you're not like man, that we could say you were there sometimes and you were them, you were missing, that you walked out on us, that somebody pushed you away, that somebody kept you away from us. Ah, for your word says nothing can separate us from your love. Oh, we thank you, God. You have a special moment for us each and every day between the hours of 6 to 8, 7 to 9, whatever time we're listening on demand. There's always a special moment that you are in our lives, that you're talking to us. No matter even if we're laughing our heads off, you're still speaking. And how can we thank you for that? How can we not understand how blessed we are? We thank you for even the encouragement today that we as parents have to step up. That we can't, that's why we're parents. We can't leave it to the children. That we have to pay attention to them the way you pay attention to us. That we always need to be on our job, just like you're always on your job. So we pray for every parent that they would just become aware that they have to step their game up, so that we can give our children what they need. We thank you for the IT department. We thank you for the teachers who are just coming to the plate every day, for the principals, for the personnel. We thank you, God, and we ask you to protect them. They are vulnerable, but they are doing what they have to do, what they need to do, God. We're asking you to touch every life and cover them. We ask you, God, right now to cover the Perry family. Be with our family members, dear Heavenly Father. Heal each and every one of them according to your will, according to your speed, according to your timing. We thank you, God, that we didn't hear of any death, that this can pass right by them. We thank you and we ask you to touch each and every person who ministered today, and we ask you to touch each and every person who has been privileged and blessed to be a hearer today, because they could have missed it. So God, if they missed it today, but you'll catch them tomorrow. If they miss it tomorrow, but you'll let them catch it next month. Whatever it is, God, we ask you to just spread its due time across the seas, God, across this world, God, because it's due time that we wake up. It's due time that we make a change. It's due time that we become aware. And we're just so grateful, because as long as you exist, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, there is nothing that you will withhold from us. Oh, amen. We thank you, Father, for just doing what you do. And we ask you to bless every life, that we will not just be hearers, but that we will be doers according to what we've been given by you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Oh, as always, what a day, what a day, what a day. Thank you, God, for just being who you are. Oh, my goodness. Ah, what a blessing. What a blessing. Oh, you know, Pastor Kale always talks about, you know, no matter what, no matter how many jokes they cut, no matter how much they say, Pastor Charlene is always going to give you, you know, that grounding. She's always going to bring you home. She's always going to bring you back to God. She's always going to give you a scripture. Well, today you got a full-blown sermon. Ha, ha! Well, after hearing from Lady Sherelle, Lady Tamika, and Elder Moore, and how they wrapped up that segment, there ain't nowhere in the world you couldn't have wanted to go to church, because you had already, they had already given us, how do we call it in the beginning, you know, when we do the first part in church, the devotion. Ah, they had already done the devotional, and Pastor Charlene did the sermon. So, boy, we were blessed today. You know, I think about how great God is, and I think about how he just wraps it all up. He pulls it all together. And from last week, this has been heavily on my mind. And last night, as I opened up the different, you know, websites to do my little, you know, research, I really began to get stimulated, really got that stimulation to do this even more so. And I realized how deficient we can be as women, that this world tears us apart. This world gives us this entire false sense of who we're supposed to be. You know, we are trying to live up to other people's expectations. You know, we're trying to be what we are not. You know, we go through a whole lot of stuff as females from very young. But as the ladies spoke, they really brought home to me why God has been pressing me to do this segment. And you know, just being blessed to have the ladies so forthcoming and so willing. You know, because I keep telling you, this is no joke to get on here and talk to people you can't see and, you know, reveal things that, you know, are close to your heart and, you know, be able to talk about a relationship of the past, you know, that meant so much to you, but not break down and cry and, you know, and get, you know, emotional. This ain't no joke. But we have the firm foundation that we stand on each and every day that really helps us get through. They do their job. The deity does its job. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they do their job. And we can't ask for anything more than what we get. We're really not missing anything. Really not missing anything. And when you think about that alone, oh, that you never walk alone. Oh, you never walk alone. Oh, no matter what you're going through, no matter what time of your life, no matter what it is, you never walk alone. And if today did not help remind you of that, no matter what your beginnings were, whether you had 9 daddies, if you had none, you never walk alone, because there's nowhere in the world, even when you are deficient of a biological father, that you make it without our Heavenly Father. So just when you think about how good He's been throughout your life, when you think about the times maybe you didn't have any food on the table, or when your mother was trying to scrape up the last couple of pennies to pay the rent, or, you know, it was time to go back to school, and, you know, maybe grandma had to buy the sneakers and uncle had to buy the book bag and, you know, your aunties had to buy, you know, the school clothes. You know, that was God. That was God. So how He's looked out for you all the time. And I want to, before I go into the closing, I want everybody to take a moment just to think about when God has been there. Think about your worst moment. What you consider to be your worst moment, God was there. Think about when you thought you were alone and there was nobody there. How could I be by myself in this world? God was there. You were never alone. Boy, powerful segment, and I thank you. I thank you for hanging out with us today, and I pray that you were blessed. Please like us on Facebook, A Closer Walk Media Network is how we are found. Follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, once you open up to listen to us, just click on that pink follow button and you will be notified each and every time a new segment is uploaded. Follow us on Instagram at ACW_media_network to stay updated with our tips, topics, and our guests. Knock on our door. Go to Coach for Christian Life. I post every night and every morning. Well, sometimes I miss it at night, but I'll make sure I post every morning. Go on there, and I thank you so much for all of the love that you showed to our Pastor Ed and how you have encouraged and given kudos and love to our guests. That's exactly what we need you to do. Thank you for just doing what you do to help support. So please, you go, it's Tamika Evans-Jones, Sherelle Farrar, Ferrer, I never can get that name right, Sherelle Ferrer, and Nitisha Moore, our Charlene Beard and our Dwayne McGleese. Go and say thank you right under that post, okay? Let them know how much you appreciate them. Go back and listen to past episodes. Well, if this one you don't go back to, shame on you. Because when you need the encouragement, it is definitely there. Well, yesterday, I want you to go back and listen to yesterday. Yesterday was hilarious, okay? Go back and listen to Monday. You know, it was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful segment as well in our relationship clinic. Please go to Apple iTunes and Apple Podcasts to rate and review the show. Shame on you in this department. I've been looking at our numbers. I can tell how you listen and where you listen from. And I see you, a lot of our numbers are coming from Apple. You've listened. Why not rate us? We need those ratings to push us on that platform. People need to know how much you love us. Okay, if you're listening and you're going back and listen, that means that you, there's something happening that's good. So please help us out, and shame on you if you don't. Okay, tune in tomorrow, Therapeutic Thursday, God Spares Our Life. Please make sure you tune in. Of course, we'll have a wonderful day tomorrow as long as we get up and listen. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, make sure you keep your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. It only serves as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I have been so blessed to have you with me today. Thank you so much for listening. I love you.